All right, so today we're diving into colonial India.
Yeah.
Between 1757 and 1947.
Okay.
And we're going to be looking at this whole idea of modernization,
Right.
specifically focusing on railways, the telegraph,
Huh.
and urban renewal projects.
Interesting.
It's a really fascinating period because you see all these advancements,
Yeah.
but then also the exploitation
Right.
and social disruption that came with it.
Absolutely. It's like a paradox almost.
It is a paradox.
Yeah.
So, were these developments good for India,
Yeah.
or did they come at too high a price?
Right.
That's what we're going to try to unpack today.
I think that's a great question to explore.
What's so interesting is that you have the East India Company,
Yeah.
which was, a trading enterprise,
Mm-hmm.
and suddenly they're in charge of governing a massive population.
Yeah, and they were totally unprepared for that. I mean,
Right.
they were used to making money through trade, not dealing with the complexities of running a country.
So how did they even make that shift?
Yeah, well, it was a gradual process.
Oh.
Initially, there was a lot of resistance from the company's agents in India.
Yeah.
They didn't want to give up their profitable trading activities.
It makes sense. I mean.
Right, but back in Britain, there was growing concern about the company's power,
Yeah.
and people were demanding more accountability.
So the British government stepped in.
Yeah, they started passing a series of regulating acts.
What did those do?
They were attempts to control the company's affairs.
So was it to protect the Indian people?
It's complicated. There were definitely some people who believed Britain had a moral obligation to govern responsibly,
I see.
like Edmund Burke, for
Oh, yeah,
instance.
the parliamentarian.
Exactly. He argued that the company should act as trustees for the people of India.
Trustees, that's interesting.
Yeah, he thought they should prioritize the welfare of the Indians.
Like a guardian almost.
Right. And that idea of trusteeship, even though it wasn't always followed,
Yeah.
became a key part of the discussion about British rule.
But it seems like they were trying to profit from India while also claiming to have their best interests at heart.
Yeah, there's definitely some truth to that.
A little bit hypocritical.
You could say that, and then in 1783, they established the Board of Control,
I've heard of that.
which was directly linked to the British cabinet,
Okay.
and it was tasked with overseeing the company.
More oversight.
Yeah, it shows how they were trying to balance those imperial ambitions
Okay.
with a sense of responsibility.
So the East India Company's changing.
Right.
The British government's trying to exert control.
Yeah.
And this is where all those technological advancements come in, like the
Exactly.
railways.
Yeah, the railways were really transformative.
Imagine seeing those iron horses steaming across India.
It was a symbol of progress,
Yeah.
and the British saw them as essential
For what?
for consolidating their control over India.
Right.
I mean, the railways allowed them to move troops quickly,
Okay.
transport goods efficiently, and connect their administrative centers.
I can see how that would help with trade and communication.
Definitely.
But you mentioned exploitation as well.
Yeah.
How did that play out?
Well, let's take the Indian textile industry as an example.
Okay.
Before the railways,
Yeah.
Indian textiles were in high demand globally.
I can imagine.
But then the railways made it cheaper
Oh, I see.
for British mills to import raw cotton from India
Okay.
and then flood the market with their finished goods.
So they undercut local production,
Exactly.
and that hurt the Indian textile industry.
It led to its decline.
Wow.
So the railways, while connecting parts of India,
Yep.
also connected India more firmly to the British economy.
And not always in a good way.
Right. It often benefited Britain at the expense of Indian industries.
It's all about who controls the network
You got it.
and who benefits from it.
Exactly.
But what about the social impact
Right.
of building these railways?
Yeah.
You mentioned displacement earlier.
Well, think about the construction process.
Okay.
It often involved cutting through villages, displacing communities,
Yeah.
and disrupting traditional ways of
It
life.
must have been devastating for those
It
communities.
was a huge upheaval.
Yeah.
People lost their homes, their livelihoods, their connection to their ancestral lands.
It's a side of progress we don't often think about. The
Absolutely.
human cost.
Yeah. And it's important to remember that. And it wasn't just the physical infrastructure like the railways,
Right.
the telegraph, you
Right,
know?
yeah, another big one.
That played a huge role
Oh, I
too.
mean, that must have been mind-blowing at the time.
It really was.
Going from letters that took weeks or months
Yeah.
to almost instant communication.
Like magic
It was a
almost.
game changer.
Totally. And the British were quick to see its potential,
I bet.
especially for controlling their empire.
Right, because they can.
Communicate so much faster,
Yeah.
coordinate everything.
Like an early warning system.
Exactly. They could stay informed about what was happening all over India.
And respond quickly to any threats.
Exactly. The telegraph gave them a real edge.
In putting down rebellions.
Yes, and managing any unrest.
That's like that panopticon idea.
Oh, yeah.
Where people are less likely to act out
right.
if they think they're being watched.
The telegraph definitely increased their ability to surveil people.
So they could intercept messages.
Yes.
Track people's movements and crush any dissent before it could spread.
Precisely.
So this technology that was meant for communication could also be used to limit freedom.
That's right.
And maintain control.
It shows how technology isn't inherently good or bad.
I see what you mean.
It all depends on how it's used.
And who's using it.
And the power dynamics involved.
Okay, so we've covered railways and the telegraph. Both of them kind of had this double edge progress, but also control.
Right.
Now, what about urban renewal?
Ah.
I've read about these big projects in cities like Calcutta and Bombay.
Yeah.
Wider streets, sanitation improvements, new buildings.
All sounds very progressive.
It does. But I'm guessing there was more to it.
There always is.
So what were the motivations behind these projects?
Well, remember, the British saw themselves as bringing order to India.
Okay.
Enlightenment, even.
To what they considered a chaotic society.
Exactly. They wanted to reshape the cities.
To reflect their own values.
Yes, their own vision of modernity and order.
And that often meant getting rid of what was already there.
They demolished entire neighborhoods.
Really?
Displaced thousands of Indians.
That's a lot of people.
It was a major disruption to their lives.
Like in Calcutta, for example.
Yes, they were obsessed with these wide, straight avenues.
Like European cities.
Exactly. And to create those avenues, they had to tear down existing neighborhoods.
With homes and businesses and temples.
Everything had to go.
It's almost like cultural erasure.
You could say that.
Replacing Indian culture with British culture.
In a way, yes. And all those displaced people.
Yeah. What happened to them?
Many of them ended up in slums on the outskirts of the city.
With terrible conditions.
Yeah. Overcrowding, poor sanitation, lack of clean water.
So the projects that were supposed to improve things.
Ironically.
Actually made them worse for many Indians. It's that same pattern again.
It is.
Something that seems positive on the surface, but has these negative consequences.
Especially for those who are already struggling.
Progress isn't always what it seems.
That's for sure. Yeah, it's a tough question to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Historians are still debating it.
I can imagine.
On the one hand, you could argue that all those modernization efforts, even with their flaws, they helped create a stronger sense of Indian identity.
How so?
Well, think about the railways.
Okay.
They connected different parts of India like never before.
Yeah.
So people could travel more easily.
Right.
Exchange ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And that contributed to the growth of nationalism.
So the British were trying to unify India under their rule.
Yeah.
But they accidentally created the conditions.
Ironic, isn't it?
For a unified India without them.
Exactly. And the telegraph played a role, too.
Oh, right.
It was used to suppress dissent.
We talked about that.
But it also allowed nationalist ideas to spread more quickly.
So it was a double-edged sword.
Absolutely. A tool for both control and resistance.
Which is fascinating.
It shows how people can adapt and use technology in unexpected ways.
But if all this was happening,
why
did it take so long for India to gain independence?
Well, the British were really good at holding on to power.
Yeah.
They had a strong military, a well-established administration.
Okay.
And they were skilled at manipulating different groups within India.
Divide and conquer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the seeds of discontent had been planted.
I see.
And as time went on, the demand for self-rule just kept growing.
It's like a pressure cooker building up over time.
We've talked about how those advancements were often used for British interests.
Right.
But what about the broader impact on Indian society and culture?
Yeah, were there any positive changes?
Well, it's important to remember that modernization wasn't just a one-way street. Indians weren't passive recipients of these changes.
Okay.
They adapted, they resisted, they even found ways to subvert these technologies.
Give me an example.
Well, the railways, for instance.
Okay.
The British built them for control.
Right.
But Indians used them for pilgrimage.
Oh, interesting.
For trade and to connect with family and friends.
So they made it their own.
They found ways to use it for their own purposes.
That's cool.
And we see this with ideas, too.
How so?
Exposure to Western education and Enlightenment ideals.
Okay.
That was part of the colonial project.
Right.
But it also led to the rise of Indian intellectuals.
Who challenged the status quo.
Exactly. They questioned traditional social norms.
Yeah.
And advocated for more political rights.
So it's a really complicated legacy.
Is.
On the one hand, exploitation and disruption.
Yeah.
On the other hand, national unity, new industries.
Yeah.
A new intellectual class.
It's not a simple story.
It's full of contradictions.
And those contradictions continue to shape India today.
I see what you mean.
The infrastructure, the communication networks,
Yeah.
the
They
cities,
all reflect this colonial past.
they do. And as we go through our own period of rapid change
Right.
with technology,
It makes you think.
it
Are
does.
there lessons we can learn?
I think there are.
What kind of lessons?
Well, for one, we need to be aware of unintended consequences.
Like what happened with the railways and the telegraph?
Exactly. Even well-intentioned advancements
Yeah.
can have negative impacts.
Especially for vulnerable groups.
It's true. Progress isn't always a straight line.
And we need to think about the downsides.
Yes, not just the potential benefits.
That's important.
We also need to think about who's benefiting from these advancements.
Is it shared equally?
Or are some people being left behind?
That's a key question.
Progress isn't just about technology, it's
Right.
about social justice, too.
Making sure everyone has a chance to benefit. And
Exactly.
ultimately, progress is a means to an end,
Yes.
not an end in itself.
Well
And
said.
that end should be a better world for all.
I couldn't agree more.
This has been a fascinating look at colonial India.
It has.
Thank you for sharing your insights.
It's been my pleasure.
And to all our listeners,
Yeah.
thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
We appreciate you.
We hope you learned something.
And that it got you thinking.
Until next time, keep exploring
Keep questioning.
and keep learning.
And remember, history is full of surprises.
It is.
And the more we learn about the past,
The better we understand the present.
and the more we can shape the future.
That's a great way to put it.
Thanks.
Thanks again for being here.
Anytime.
This has been the Deep Dive.